Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words mean the world to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm so proud to have Gears on the show. Gears has found that sweet spot between metal, R&B, hip-hop, and alternative. The Miami, Florida guru, Jimmy Wooten drums and Trip 6 vocals, zigs and zags past all expectations and burns down one convention after another in the process, racking up hundreds of thousands of streams and views, collaborating with everyone from members of Living Color to Seven Dust. They usher in a new era of rock with a series of singles and their forthcoming independent album.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Jimmy. So tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about the band. How long you guys been together?
Sure. So we started Gears in 2014. We put out an EP very shortly after we were in the room for the first time together. So, I mean, I think all together from the first day of writing to finishing the recording process was just only like 2 weeks. And that gave us an EP, 6 songs. We released it that May. And then we went on tour after that. And we toured pretty heavy through all of 2014. And then we did another EP, Pride Comes Before the Fall. That was out for a little bit. And we did another pretty extensive touring in 2015, 16, and 17. Took a little break. Kept putting out music as singles. Didn't really package anything as an EP or an LP. But then just kept kind of, you know, being a little bit more selective with touring. Less time on the road, but still quite a bit. And then, you know, we all know what happened in 2020, COVID hit, kind of put a damper on all the plans we've had. So since then, we've just kind of been putting out music pretty regularly as singles and videos and stuff like that. And then we've done some Flight Aids Festival, stuff like that. And we're looking to, you know, hopefully get back on the road, you know, pretty extensively in late 2023, 24.
Do you miss being on the road?
Yeah, man. I mean, that is the lifeblood. You know, that's why, you know, I started playing drums, and I know, you know, why Tripp started singing. You know, it's like to make records and write songs is amazing, but it kind of feels like that's only half of it. You know, going out and performing and, you know, seeing the reaction of the people and connecting with fans and stuff like that, that's really where it's at.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I've gone a couple live shows recently. I went to, of course, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and it's just crazy, like the energy in these crowds. And I'm like you. I haven't done a gig, and I did Toronto Music Festival a while ago, like 5 years, and I just said, I got to get better. So I've just been focusing on getting better with everything, and I can't wait to gig again, man. I miss it so much.
Yeah, us too. You know, that's a popular question in, you know, a lot of these interviews on social media, you know, from people that follow the band is, you know, you guys were so great last time you came through. When are you coming through again? And it's like, man, it's just really hard. You know, the logistics and economics of touring for, you know, a band that isn't Taylor Swift is kind of difficult.
Yeah.
You know? It's, you know, fairly difficult, you know, for us to make everything make sense because, you know, the venues, you know, unless they have a lot on the line too. So it's like, if they can't guarantee, you know, hitting their nut or what they need to hit, it's like, you know, they're not necessarily going to want to have a show on a Tuesday night. And, you know, a band like us, we can't go out on the road and play shows, you know, 3 days a week. You know what I mean? We have to be playing 5 to 6 days a week for it to make sense.
You're right. I mean, as much as I guess we are not $1 billion shows, we want to be, but it's just all together. It's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like knowing both sides of it and understanding that, you know, we're all essentially having to run a business, whether we look at it that way or not, you know what I mean? Everything has to make sense, you know, financially, logistically for, all sides involved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your band. Tell us about what you guys have cooking for the rest of this year, other than maybe doing some shows. Any surprises for the fans?
Oh yeah, we've got some more music coming, believe it or not. So everybody always wants to talk whenever I get on these interviews. They're always like, "Man, you guys, it seems like you guys are always putting out new music." And every time we turn around, there's a new single from Gears. And it's like when we can't be out on the road and creating engagement with the fans, in person, the next best thing that we can do is just keep everybody, happy with new music and new videos, and we try to do cool stuff, visually with all of our videos. We try to do, think out of the box with, some of the stuff that we're doing musically, and that's one advantage of being an independent artist. And you can attest to this from all the stuff that I've read and heard from you, is that, you can kind of do whatever you want. If you feel like writing a certain type of song, you can. There's no expectation. There's no, you don't really have to please anyone but yourself, and hopefully, the people that follow your band or follow your music enjoy it too. So that's one advantage of not having to answer to, a big time record label or management company or anything like that.
How do you guys get started? How do you write a song? What's your process?
Oh man, there's a bunch of different ways because, we all live in different cities. So it's a lot of it is remote through like Dropbox. Like we'll have, maybe like a little pre-pro, call or meeting with, our producer and co-producer, Chris Dawson and Jimmy Beatty, and we'll kind of talk about what direction we want to go in musically, or what could possibly work. And then they'll cook up like maybe some riffs and stuff like that, and come back to me, and we'll go over like some percussive ideas, some percussion ideas, and maybe some programming ideas, and stuff like that. And then it goes back and forth. And then once the music is pretty much there and ready to track, then we'll get together and start thinking about subject matter for what this song is going to be about. And then from there, it's just, everybody kind of contributes to, everybody that's involved in the writing process, Trip and our bass player Josh and the Jimmy and Dawson on the production side of things. Sometimes we all contribute, a lot to it. Sometimes somebody just has such a strong, striking, like, they kind of have it, like Trip might have a whole idea for, this song, and I may not end up writing any lyrics on it. You know what I mean? So, which is great, as long as everybody's happy with the way it comes out and everything that's being conveyed emotionally and subject matter theme wise, that kind of thing. I'm down for it.
And you guys do like the Nashville thing where you just split it equally no matter what. So that way everyone feels like they're fairly compensated.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, because I mean, we're all in the room. You know what I mean? When it comes to actually recording the music and, paying for all the stuff, we're all contributing equally. So yeah, it's like once, the production costs are out of the way, it's, yeah, everybody's kind of pretty much getting an equal cut.
How often do you guys practice, like rehearsals?
You know what? Only before tours, really. We might get together a week ahead of time before a tour and practice, 3 or 4 days out of those. But generally, it's not really a huge ordeal as far as rehearsal. Like, we're not doing 2 weeks of rehearsals before we go out. You know what I mean? So generally what we've been doing lately, because our sets traditionally, as far as the last few tours, have been shorter because they've been either direct support slots or main, support slots. Our sets might be 30 to 40 minutes, so you're not talking about a whole lot of material. So we kind of get the sets, I, ironed out, what we're going to play. Maybe have a couple, two, three audible songs that we might want to do on some nights, but not every night. You know what I mean? just so that we can change it up a little bit. But yeah, it's not it, our rehearsal process isn't really too intense as far as, going in and working out parts, because I mean, mostly, everybody does that on their own. And when we come in the room, it's just kind of tighten it up, put the show together. Like, if we're gonna have a place where Trip wants to talk. I know there's certain songs that we have where Trip, the singer, he'll want to, tell a story about, where this song came from, where that's something, we'll work that into the set and kind of rehearse it that way.
Tell us about this song we're going to hear.
Thanks for the Misery. So, I mean, that song is kind of self-explanatory. It's weird. I always say that if you can write a song and, have people, 10 people listen to it and it mean 10 different things, then that's like you achieve the goal. It's like I have people come up all the time and say, oh, this song means, help me through a really tough relationship. And, this, that, and I'm thinking, I'm like, well, that's great. But that song was actually about like kicking out a guitar player or firing a guitar player. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, but it's, I feel like that's what music's about. It's kind of like the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's in the ear of the listener, so to speak. So it's like, if they connect with it a certain way and that's what it means to them, then yes, that's what we did it right. It's kind of like you try to be descriptive enough to paint a picture, but ambiguous enough so that people can apply it to their own lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's cool. But Thanks for the Misery, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's about, just going through a tough time and dealing with, a bad relationship or a bad, friendship, and kind of, looking back on it now that you've passed through it, it's like, it's like, actually I learned a lot from dealing with, what I dealt with you. So, thanks for the misery, but, kind of in a cathartic way.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Tell you what, let's take a listen, then we'll come back and talk. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. Here we go, everybody. Check this out.
I've been weighing the losses and you.
All right, Jimmy, thank you, man. That was a cool song. Thank you for sharing it with the audience.
Thank you for playing it. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, do you or your bandmates have any trouble with people taking you seriously as musicians?
I don't think so. I think that we put together, you know, a pretty solid body of work by now. You know, I think maybe in the beginning, because we all came from different bands and we all kind of left the bands that we were in, you know, that weren't necessarily, it wasn't like the bands broke up. It's like, you know, I kind of just was done doing the thing that I was doing, you know what I mean? And it had run its course for me. And I found people that I wanted to work with. I didn't want to work with the people that I was working with before. So it was like one of those things that, you know, maybe not take serious, but definitely try to prove that this project is just as good as any of the ones before. And I think the same would probably, you know, not to speak for anybody else in my band, but I would think, you know, the same would have been for Tripp. You know, he was in a great band, and he did the bands, you know, together for some time, but it was like, he was kind of, I think the whole band in that instance was kind of like had run its course, you know. And again, I don't mean to speak for him, but, it just kind of felt like, you know, he was ready to do something and branch out and do something a lot newer, you know, with some new people. So I think in the sense that convincing people that we were, you know, musically credible, I don't think that was as much as musically effective. Like, could we write songs that were as good as the previous songs that we wrote with a new group of people? And I think that a lot of songwriters go through that, you know, to try and prove that they can consistently churn out quote unquote the goods, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we all do get lucky. And I mean, even in, you know, the stuff that we're releasing now, some of these songs, they resonate so well with audiences. And, you know, but then there's another song that still does well, but it doesn't reach the same peak that the previous single did, you know, maybe. So it's like you're constantly striving for excellence. And I think when you strive for excellence, you know, you end up coming up with a pretty good product.
Tell us about your website, where people can buy your stuff, stream it, and support you in the band.
Of course. So www.gearsofficial.com, gearsofficial.com. That's the main website. And that will kind of point you everywhere. That'll take you to our Facebook, our YouTube, you know, our social media, all of our social media. Of course, you know, Apple Music, you know, Spotify, you know, all the places, you know, all the digital service providers that, you know, pretty much every band needs to be on to get their music out there and available. So we're all over all of that stuff.
Okay, cool. What is your band's ideal superpower? If you could list one superpower.
One superpower. Like, you mean imaginary or like something that I really feel like our band is good at?
How about both?
Oh man, imaginary. I mean, hey, just to be able to snap your fingers and sell out an arena would be cool. You know what I mean? That could be. But I would say like our, you know, quote unquote superpower that we have is again, I think it really is a lot of the songwriting and development of the songs. I think we have a really good knack for writing songs and making songs that people can identify with. But again, leaving room for the listener to be able to interpret and apply it to, you know, their life scenario.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Do you have any podcasts that you or your bandmates follow religiously?
You know, I don't have any that I follow religiously. There are a couple here and there that I've listened to, you know, several times. There's this one called on Instagram, they're called The Cheat Code. And that's a really interesting from the business side of the artist's life. You know, they kind of give you a lot of insight on, you know, how to look at things in a more positive way, how to be proactive to in all kinds of music business scenarios, and, you know, kind of just the way to, you know, the simple way to just have a and the simple way to approach the music industry, you know, in a positive way. So I really like that. Also, I mean, I know that there's always some interesting stuff on a lot of the comedians' podcasts that you might check out. And honestly, I'm kind of drawing a blank of anyone that I've listened to recently, other than, you know, Joe Rogan. Every once in a while, I'll tune in because he'll have like an interesting guest on there for me. You know, he's kind of a polarizing guy, you know, a lot of, you know, very strong minded and opinionated, you know, things. So I'm not really, I'm a lot more, I guess, more of a blank slate when it comes to that. You know, I don't really have too many like really firm beliefs that I'm willing to like go public with, you know, especially being in the age of social media. It's like really kind of tough to, you know, you got to be very careful about not only what you say, but how you present it. It's like, you know, you could say one thing and mean, you know, something totally harmless, and it can be interpreted in a way that's not really, you know, a great look for your public self.
You know, man, we're all walking in eggshells a little bit. Yeah, you gotta, it's hard, you know, especially when you try being authentic and revealing things and then someone misinterprets something or takes something out of context. It's hard.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very difficult. And that's a great way to put it. You know, we're all walking on eggshells. It's like, you know, I don't, and it sucks because I feel like sometimes you can't really let people in and show too much of yourself because I feel like it can always be painted a certain way. Like, you know, with the whole, you know, quote unquote cancel cult, you know, cancel culture thing. It's like, I feel like if people want to like really get you bad enough, they can, you know. I feel like anything can be twisted, you know, around and shaped a certain way. And that's just, it's very disappointing for me, man, because I'm a talker. I'll sit there and I'll talk with someone and talk with them and enjoy the conversation. And I don't care if we agree on everything. I actually find a lot of, you know, discussions that I have with my friends, you know, it's fun when we don't agree on something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have to be mature enough to handle that. You know, you have to be mature enough to know that someone can have a different point of view and you guys can still be friends. Like, it's crazy. I know it's a really, really crazy concept to think that you don't have to, you know, have everything in common with everyone that you hang out with, right?
Yep, totally. No, I totally hear you, man. All right, dude, this is awesome. I wish we had more time, but I'd love to have you guys on again anytime. And I thank you for being on the show, dude. Very cool.
No, thank you so much. And please, you know, anytime that, you know, you want to have us back, have me back or have, you know, me and trip back or something like that, we can hook it up for sure.
Yeah. All right, man. So to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me and Jimmy. We both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join us every single Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. I love you all. Thank you.
As the day comes to a close, another sad day gone by. Wish I was on the beach in Mykonos instead of living this life. You're on the outside looking in. You ask me why I won't leave. Seems obvious to all who know me, this relationship is not for me. We accept the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes, and somewhere along the way I lost my faith. After all these heartaches, it doesn't seem quite so bad to me getting yelled at daily. I do it for reasons others just can't believe. I take the abuse so easily. I sit in motionless, I look so strange. Through the words, the bruises and the blame, my body language just doesn't change, and my reasons stay the same. We're such the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes. It's all we're alone.
The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.